Hello, you Awakening Wonders. They're on Spotify, Apple, Stink Whistle, Gurgle Dot, or wherever you download your podcast these days to remain at least peripherally connected to some tendril of truth in a bewildering miasma of lies and propaganda. We appreciate you and we love you. You're part of our community. So that's why we're very happy to give you an audio version of our live Rumble show 5 days a week. It's on Monday to Friday. We decipher the latest news stories. We break down current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. And if they aren't, then we critique why they're not and what they are covering. Every week as well, right? We do brilliant conversations with people like Jordan Peterson, RFK, Tucker Carlson, Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate. These things are already up and you can listen to them now. So remember, this is an audio version of our daily live show. To tune in live, go to rumble.com/Russell Brand. You'll find it easily and I hope that you will love it. Now please enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Thanks.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining us today for Stay Free with Russell Brand, where we believe in your freedom. The concept of freedom is an absolute one. It is our element. It is as water is to fish. It's the element we must swim in and glory in. Wouldn't you agree with me, Jess from Michigan in the Rumble chat, or Angry with you, also in the Rumble chat? We love you. We welcome you here, whoever you are. Wherever you're from, whatever your previous affinity and affiliations in this community, you are welcome as we oppose these entropying, atrophying and decaying systems. We form new alliance all around us and freedom is abounding. The glory is with us. If you haven't become an Awakened Wonder yet, become an Awakened Wonder now. We do a different video every single week that is exclusively available just for you. We do great subjects and I really talk around them. What, are you saying my hat's the wrong colour? This is a good hat. Thanks, man. Gaz Faz. Who's Ryan Borden? You say wrong colour. You mean this? Fake Russell Brand trying to get people to email. That's no good. There only can be one RB, although there's two because there's Roseanne Barr. If you're an Awakened Wonder, you'll have joined us for our conversation with Roseanne Barr. She is such a beautiful exemplifier of the challenges of our culture. When someone has a beautiful gift like Roseanne has, the culture hoovers it up and renders it as a commodity and a product. You'll see our conversation with Roseanne. We'll let you know what day next week it's going to be on. If you want to become an Awakened Wonder, we're going to give you 1 month free. That's how confident we are that this movement's going to change your life. This is the last day you can use the code God is Great. Use that code, you'll get a free month. Also, you get to join us for our book club when we talk about, well, not actually, it's not that one, The Problem of Pain. It's a Mere Christianity that we're talking about. Plus, we do meditations every week. You will love it. You'll have such a great time being with us. So, yeah, join us if you can. Use the God is Great code and get a month for free. You can cancel at any time, of course. And if you're not into it, you know, that's cool. But what we're planning to do, ultimately, is established fully autonomous, quiet in the gallery if you don't mind please guys, fully autonomous communities where you determine how you run your life. Eventually we will declare independence. If you're an American watching this, you will know that you have once before thrown off tyranny and you will throw it off again. And why wouldn't you when our leaders are so crazy? We'll be talking about the FBI's corruption in a little bit, in an embarrassing little video as the FBI attempt to publicly arrest someone. Also, guess who's back? Bird flu's back again. What should we be scared of next? I would be scared of Rishi Sunak, globalist, current Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, and in spite of a lovely haircut, nerd.
I love being with the kids and setting up the table and making sure that it's all nice and somehow about.
I don't want to see no more political leaders pretending to be normal on Gracia, sat talking with their spouses, normalising themselves while simultaneously living in positions of great privilege and deceiving us. Infosys, the organisation owned by her father, does deals and is a consistent sponsor of the WEF. You know that already. And there is some talk about Infosys doing a bunch of deals with the government prior to the Conservatives presumably being booted out. Can some of you check that for me? Have you heard anything about that gal that Sunak's been doing some deals? Well, check it then. So I don't want to, while we're still on YouTube, make any audacious claims. I don't want to make any untrue claims anywhere. I want to tell you the truth. I believe in the truth and that is what scares them. The truth and freedom is what terrifies them. Man, we got so many good stories coming up for you over the course of the week. Some of the stuff that Pfizer have been doing, some of the things they did do during the clinical trial period beggar's belief. It will dazzle you, it will mobilize you, it will radicalize you. If you consider it to be radical to reject systems that don't have your well-being at their heart. I don't consider that radical, I consider it to be common sense. Should we continue to watch this globalist? You want to watch this globalist, Danny Boy 82420? Do you want to watch this globalist saying how normal he is and how he likes loading the dishwasher? What he won't be telling you is that he invested heavily in Moderna when he was a partner. I think they were called Phelim, a hedge fund that invested in Moderna before they had the good fortune of becoming a pretty prominent product. This hat made a noise that, you know, that sort of noise that makes your teeth go in edge, you know, that kind of velvety sort of sound, that felt sound. Do any of you get that?
The table, I really love doing all of that up.
Hard choice. Dishwasher, stacking, making bed. Both have a nice, satisfying ending.
What are you talking about, you lunatics? Hey, do you want this thing? You can get it. It's 25% off this week. Become an awakened wonder. Go around in our swag. Guess what we do with the money for it? Look, it's made pretty ethical. I was told to read you the things that are ethical about it. It ain't like, thanks for that $50, old scratch. We'll give that to the... we won't be able to give that because that goes to Rumble, as a matter of fact. But we'll, anything we make from this swag, we use to get junkies and we do experiments on them. No, we get them into treatment. That's the way that it rolls. That's what we're doing here. Hey, so listen, you, it is time for some bird flu. Bird flu's back. Yes, it's a new type of thing to be worried about. Bird flu. Terrifying stuff, obviously. What it is now is it's spreading, leaping across the world. I mean, the problem is when birds get flu is they can fly. It does make things challenging. Don't worry, though. Help
tonight, the CDC with an urgent alert.
Help is at hand.
We're telling healthcare providers to be on the lookout for possible cases of bird flu. That's if they encounter sick patients who recently had contact with birds or livestock. One human case reported so far this year in the U.S., but officials say the risk to the public remains low.
Pulling the string says one of Rishi's family has got one of the 12 contracts from Israel for oil. Let's fact check that, but at the moment it's merely a rumor. Love the hat, says Frank Danielle. You look like the guy who was handcuffed to Oswald when he was shot. I was that guy. That's what I've been doing. So there you go, bird flu. Be worried about that now. Don't worry, because there's a vaccine on its way for you, so everything will be fine. Hey, you know Boeing, they make a damn good plane, don't they? And anyone who says otherwise tends to end up dead. There's a new Boeing whistleblower. My personal advice to that guy is stay out of parking lots.
This morning, growing turbulence for one of the world's largest airplane manufacturers, Boeing, as the federal government has launched a new investigation into the company amid allegations about one of Boeing's airplanes. The FAA tells NBC News it's investigating new whistleblower claims made by a Boeing quality engineer about the 787 Dreamliner. The latest claims, first reported by the New York Times, come after a series of dangerous mishaps involving other Boeing planes in recent months. The whistleblower, Sam Salapour, says sections of the Dreamliner's fuselage are put together improperly and that after thousands of flights, it could break apart mid-air.
Stop moaning about the fuselage. You can't spend all your time fretting and worrying about bolts in a fuselage. I remember when making airplanes was about fun and art, and we didn't bother ourselves so much with health and safety. When did we become so fearful? O.J. Simpson, God rest his soul, no longer with us. Let's have a look now at how it's been reported on by the legacy media. What does he ultimately represent? What does the life and death of O.J. Simpson ultimately tell us? In a sense, he was the precursor of numerous stories that we see now. The story of the criminalized celebrity. Sometimes, of course, this may be due and just. At other times, it's merely a pantomime and theatre. We, the public, we, the people, are left to discern truth from fiction, for surely the establishment cannot be trusted. Here's some legacy media reporting on OJ.
Boy, what a beautiful day it is here in Las Vegas.
It's the last known video of OJ Simpson's 9 weeks before his death from cancer. And typically, it was filled with falsehoods.
Typically, falsehoods, lies. Someone in the chat goes, AJ's kicking it with the devil now. He's just kicking back with El Diablo.
Health is good. I mean, obviously, I'm dealing with some issues. But, hey, I think I'm just about over it. And I'll be...
Mad because he was such a sort of hero. Did you see that amazing documentary where it was really beautiful, really, because he was contemporaneous with some amazing African-American athletes that made heroic stands against the oppression that African-Americans were experiencing, certainly then, and many would claim, of course, continue to experience. But at a time where them Olympians did the Black Power salute, at a time where Muhammad Ali was saying, I ain't got no beef with the Viet Cong, and continued to be an advocate and significant voice, OJ was like, I don't want to be involved in none of that. I just want to be an athlete. And some people said, well, you know, not everyone is going to be willing to sacrifice themselves for these all-powerful messages. OJ pushed vaccines, said Sneaky Gemini. It's pretty extraordinary. If that's true, that he did promote those vaccines, if indeed, as some say, that he did die of a turbo cancer, which is sad, whoever it happens to, it's astonishing, isn't it? It's astonishing that if that were true, that's pretty extraordinary. He had a cool Bronco, says Ooga Booga. That's when, like, justice and television really fused, didn't they, in that moment? Let's see what Karine Jean-Pierre's got to say on this matter.
Was there any reaction from the president to O.J. Simpson's death? Do you know if they ever crossed paths? If so, how, when?
So I'll say this, our thoughts are with his families during this difficult time, obviously with his family and loved ones. And I'll say this, I know...
It's funny, actually, because that's like she's forgotten that the O.J. Simpson narrative included a moment where potentially he murdered somebody and was found innocent, actually, I suppose. He was found innocent. But of course, like, that documentary is amazing, man, where it shows that because the conditions in your country and in Los Angeles in particular were so rife with injustice that the case became about something other than the event that it was supposed to be about. Astonishing documentary. If you've not seen it, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's the best one. You know, it was astonishing analysis of the cultural event itself and OJ as a figure. I mean, I'm sure all of us recognize that when someone develops a kind of cultural cachet, what they have done is unconsciously, in all likelihood, attuned to some kind of cultural theme that's valuable and important to us. I've always thought that American movie stars tell the story to America that America needs to hear at that time, even if it's like someone like Arnold Schwarzenegger, a non-native American, powerful and glorious, who, along with Bruce Willis and Sly Stallone, told the story of Reagan's America. And then, like, Sandler became the biggest movie star, a kind of hapless, adorable version of America. This is, of course, just my own half-baked analysis, the idea that sort of America's transgressions in the Middle East, for example, somehow were like inadvertent, like, you know, Adam Sandler may slip up here and there, but he's fundamentally good. Of course, I'm not fundamentally connecting these movie stars to the geopolitical events, merely that on an archetypal level, they help us to understand and process them. Clearly there, Karine Jean-Pierre isn't including all aspects of the OJ narrative, and a remarkable, brilliant athlete turned into successful movie star and then somehow harnessing a great deal of energy that day in Brentwood. Let's have a look at, watch the rest of this, I suppose.
So that they have asked for some privacy, and so we're going to respect that. I'll just leave it there.
We don't get too much in O.J. Simpson, man. It's a crazy, ultimately tragic story of the sort of part of the tragedy. I am okay, The Real Mix. I'm feeling pretty good, actually. I'm buzzing, man. I feel cool about the world. I feel the glory is close. Let's have a look at this report that seems to suggest that Lunchables, which is, you know, a product directly created for kids, has got lead in it.
Consumer Reports is asking school cafeterias all across this country to stop giving students Lunchables. Those are packaged food items that generally are really popular with kids. But the watchdog group says it tested them and found that some Lunchables contain potentially dangerous levels of harmful contaminants. Nancy Chan has been looking into this for us. Nancy, good morning.
Tony, good morning to you.
Nancy, is it true that Lunchables contain lead? Nancy, yes, it is true. We're poisoning children now. In fact, this is merely a more extreme example of something that is endemic and indeed normalized. To give children the amount of sodium and sugar that we do amounts to poisoning, but it's all a glorious circle of life if you keep feeding kids shoddy, dreadful food, then you can, of course, heal them using equally shoddy and potentially ineffective medicines. And the circle of life or death continues. Well, thank you, Nancy. That was an unanticipated answer. Thanks for joining us.
EU Lunchables have really been a longtime staple in lunchboxes across the country. But Consumer Reports, an independent nonprofit group, issued a scathing assessment of the lunch kit, saying, quote, "We don't think anybody should regularly eat these products."
Great. You don't know. It's food. That's not something you want to hear about. Food. Should it? All food should be edible. That's the minimum requirement for food. Is this food edible? Well, I mean, you can put it in your mouth and break it down with your teeth and swallow it. So, yes.
This came after testing that allegedly found some store-bought versions contained high levels of heavy metals, lead and cadmium. They can cause developmental issues in children, even in small doses. The study also found concerning amounts of sodium as well as phthalates, chemicals used in plastic packaging.
Come on, man. It's just getting out of control, isn't it? Poisoning children. High levels of sodium, phthalates, lead, cadmium. These are the type of stories that breach the surface, are discernible, demonstrable, and easily corroborated, that make me more willing to listen to and consider more outlandish theories about, for example, I don't know, chemtrails or things in the water. I mean, there is such sort of negligence, disregard, and occasionally malfeasance present in big food, big pharma, and the kind of systemic abuses that pass masked continually through our lives that... How can you just outright say, oh, no, that's ridiculous. The idea that we would be, look at Stuart 3-1, poison food, air, water, 5G, radiation, etc. Yeah, like say 5G, let's take that. You know, like there are, I understand, fluoridation. Yeah, you lot know in the Rumble chat. Listen, we're just going to be available for a few more minutes on YouTube. There's a link in the description. Sooner or later, you're going to have to come over to our place. Come on over where we can talk freely. You know, it just seems at least worthy of contemplation that this is systemic, deliberate, if not just the inert practices of a careless system. Don't feed your kids Lunchables, but make sure that to get them vaxxed. Noted. That's Mitch 7113. Okay, well, man, I don't know if I can even watch the rest of this. Let me try.
There are also known hormone disruptors. Last year, after changing some of the nutritional content, Lunchables were allowed into the National School Lunch Program for the first time, giving tens of millions of children access on a...
Someone lobbied to get it permitted to be in the school lunch program so that it could be some great catering company's deal to put Lunchables into school catering so they can buy it en masse and profit. Someone got lobbied, someone got biased, and no one at any point stopped. In a sensible and sane world that you can imagine just on the periphery of your mind, you just go, don't make that product anymore. Do you know what we should do actually? Right, what we should do is we should feed children food that's either been grown or hunted or otherwise harnessed from the area that we're all living in. That might mean that there are less opportunities for profit. But let's focus all of our attention on localization. Let's for a minute stop regarding everything solely from a materialistic perspective. Lunchables is the pinnacle of the pyramid of commodity that we all lay sprawled upon, the base of your spine pierced, you spread-eagled and hopeless, pummeled by a system of deep, deep loathing. And the only way down from this crucifix, and maybe Jesus, maybe we should just stay on it, is to awaken immediately.
Near daily basis. But now Consumer Reports is calling on the Department of Agriculture to remove Lunchables from schools. In a statement, Kraft Heinz, which owns Lunchables, defended the product, saying it meets strict safety standards. The company...
We've got very strict safety standards, and they include cadmium and lead being edible for children. Also, occasionally, I mean, what, do you ejaculate into that stuff? I mean, what, if that passes the test, what is the test?
He added that lead and cadmium occur naturally in the environment and could be present in low levels in food products. But this is a staple for so many families because they're so easy to pack.
Yes.
Well, yeah, or yeah. In this case, it's taxpayers funding the lunches going to low-income kids.
Brilliant. There's a point where you have to just stand back and applaud. Taxpayers are participating in the poisoning of working class children. Amazing. It's actually costing you money. They've found a way to make poisoning children profitable, double profitable, because they'll profit when these kids grow up diabetic and full of heart disease. When they're obese at bare minimum, they've got a drug for that now. Christ help us. For God's sake, let us all become radicalized. I wonder if Kraft spend any money on legacy media outlets. I wonder if sometimes between these shows you see Kraft going, hey, if you don't have time to feed your children food that doesn't have lead in it, how about some food that does have lead in it? I mean, the truth is, processed food have small amounts of death in them. The truth is that if you are a parent, and I am, sometimes you think, well, you know, maybe a little bit of lead will calm them down. But the simple solution is change your economic and political and social models. I don't think Christ is interested in Lunchables. I think Christ would be interested if we explained what was in them, which he will know as he has the mind of God. Poisoning children. Like, this is it. This is what I'll say to you. Wisdom is acting on knowledge. On the day that you find out that Lunchables has lead in it, we're banning that. We're never doing that again. Shut that shit down. What's the reason we're doing it? Oh, lobbying, donations, because Kraft advertising and legacy media. Oh, great. Well, God, let's break down all of those monopolies. Let's no longer permit that. Let's certainly not use taxpayer dollars to subsidise it. Let's, from now on, have democracy available at the smallest level of subsidiarity, that people control their own lives and their own communities. That way, if there are cultural, religious differences or differences of traditionalism versus progressivism, they'll be nullified and irrelevant, because in one state people can believe in this, and in another state something people can believe in something else. But what we should believe in every single state is, don't poison your children just because it's profitable.
And right. Consumer Reports saying it's hurting those kids.
Mm. Especially if you're a mom, Nancy, that's not making the sandwiches and putting them in the paper bag. Hello, yeah. My name is Gail.
That's
they were very
benefit.
Easy breezy. Yeah.
I ate all of them growing up.
Hope they can figure
as
that out.
Lunchables says they're meeting the standards. The question is, are those standards sufficient?
Yes.
Very, very concerning. All right, Nancy, thank you.
Who sets the standards, and do the people that set those standards receive revenue from Kraft or other processed food organisations? I think you know the answer to all of those questions. What's happening in Brazil right now? Is this video, Gal, or still the Mike Benz? Mike Benz is talking about Brazil. We're 20 minutes in, though. Shall I plow on to that FBI thing? In Ukraine, Parliament have passed a bunch of draconian mobilisation, allowing for the freezing of bank accounts, a la Canada. That's happening there now. Let's have a look. Ukraine's Parliament has passed a bill to overhaul how the military drafts civilians in an attempt to boost its number. Is that about? It's not about banking. If you dodge it, they freeze your bank account. There you go. More piloting. And also, in a statement beyond irony, the Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has addressed Congress about the danger of nuclear attacks from, you remember this, you're Japanese, right? You're talking about nuclear attacks. You're in front of Congress right now, okay? So, right, I'm the leader of Japan and I'm here to talk about nuclear attacks. I'm so glad I'm here in the Congress of the United States because, you know, I've got memory and everything, so I can remember that. Russia! Russia's the problem!
Brain of today may be East Asia of tomorrow. Furthermore, Russia continues to threaten the use of nuclear weapons, which has contributed to worldwide concern that yet another catastrophe by nuclear weapon use is a real possibility. In this reality...
Oh, man, that's so messed up, isn't it? Right. Also... Do you remember when you guys... All right, that's enough now. Thanks for coming. Russia's bad. We get it. Now, the FBI have showed up at a Trump supporter's home in California in order to penalise him in some way or another, one assumes. Let's have a look. So it didn't go the way they thought it would go.
From the Sacramento FBI.
What? What is it?
Hello, it's the Sacramento FBI. What is it? Oh, you may already have won $10,000. It's never going to be good news, is it, with the FBI at the door? Hey, listen, if you're watching us on YouTube, this will be the last item we do. Then we'll talk a bit about, I've got such a good story on Alex Jones and that undercover CIA stuff. Plus, we talk about the complexity of Middle Eastern politics and how that story is being told in a variety of ways now as it continues to bifurcate and break down former alliances. That conflict and the language around it and what's happening is, I think, set to be defining an ancient conflict that brings us to the pinnacle of the present. Right now, though, let's look at the FBI bugging this dude in California.
Looking to talk to David.
For what?
Hoping he can help us with someone he met online.
All right. What is it?
Could have done without his little pal Tootsies.
What is it concerning?
I'll tell you if you turn it off.
I'm not going to turn it off.
Handsome FBI man. Okay, what is it concerning? I'll tell you. There's only one way to find out what the FBI want from you. That's to stop filming, FBI. David Baumblatt in the chat. I am a former FBI. Get me on the show. Send us an email, mate. Email us and put David Baumblatt, FBI, and we'll talk to you once we've checked your credentials. A lot of nutters out there, you know?
So?
Okay, the person we're here to talk about, I can't say on camera.
Okay.
But it's not about you.
Okay, well then I can't. I'm not going to speak. You're not going to say it on camera.
That's also the FBI. Them two guys is the FBI. That was a very sarcastic wave from the FBI. Embarrassing. The FBI is an embarrassing organization. They should be shut down, not because of the corruption, not because of the fake operations, not because of their implicit support of the establishment, not because they spent money to manage and control social media, ultimately to censor it, but just because they're so awkward.
What have you been up to?
None of your business.
Okay. You're refusing an interview?
He's actually not refusing interview, is he? He's just filming. Like, remember, this is another taxpayer-funded organization. Xandar86 in the Rumble chat, thanks for introducing me to a new conspiracy theory. Nukes are fake. They're Hollywood special effects. Amazing. Amazing. It's another, is that going to be something I'm going to be leaving in a year? No, there never were nuclear. Now, come on, radiation. Come on, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
That's pretty embarrassing, isn't it? That sort of the deep state can be thwarted by just sort of filming them. Hello there. I am Agent Smith, FBI. You're in a lot of trouble, Mr. Anderson.
Well, you know, I'm just going to film you.
Oh, well, humanity. I hate them. It's the smell. Let me know what film that's from, you guys. We're going to leave YouTube right now, but we have got so much more to talk about. In particular, the complexity of the conflict in the Middle East. Would you describe Israel's actions in Palestine as a genocide? Joe Rogan does. Do you know that many Christians are dying in Palestine? Does it make any difference what beliefs people have in their hearts and heads when they die as a result of military actions that, to some degree at least, are supported by the United States of America through the sale and indeed granting of arms? We'll be discussing that in a minute. Click the link in the description. Become an awakened wonder. Join us. We love you. See ya. All right. Now, look, the Australians are up to all sorts of stuff. I love Australia. I love that country. But they're creating a COVID army now. Look at this. I don't like that cartoon style much. I don't like it. National COVID Guard. Is that someone from here's, like when you draw a circle and stuff like I do? You see that circle around? Excuse me. National COVID Guard. Is that from us or is that just how we found it? So cute. There you go. They've got an army for the next pandemic. Also, though, the problem is that, isn't it that isn't it, like that it's been a real sham. Premier Roger Cook believes a civilian National Guard designed to ease the burden on police during a time of crisis. Oh, they just want us to be like a snitch army. It's worth exploring as a part of a broader effort to be ready for the next global pandemic. Yeah, yeah, why don't you turn on one another like animals? Well, maybe we could get them to fight each other in a pit in the nude. Why don't we get civilians to fight to the death in a pit? Has been proposed by the union representing the federal police officers as part of an ongoing inquiry into Australia's response into COVID. Meanwhile, in unrelated news in Australia, cardiac arrests have shot...
The number of Victorians dying from...
Shot through the roof.
The number of Victorians dying from sudden cardiac arrest has skyrocketed by 20% over the past 5 years. As Eliza Rugg reports, St John Ambulance is working to reverse the trend, rolling out publicly accessible defibrillators in high-risk postcodes.
Andrew Conway says without his CPR-trained wife Leanne and a defibrillator, his seventh cardiac arrest could have been his last.
I was in bed and I had an arrest in my sleep.
Nearly 8,000 Victorians suffered a sudden cardiac arrest between 2022 and 2023, an increase of 20% compared to the previous 5 years, in part because more incidents...
What we need is a civilian army to stop these cardiac arrests, to ensure that people are compliant in the event of further pandemics. This 20% increase in cardiac arrest, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what's causing that?
They're being reported, but also...
There may be combinations of aspects of stress and hangover. We know that our entire community went through an incredibly difficult time during COVID.
Survival...
It's the stress. It's the stress of the COVID period. The lengths that they're going to. You remember their aggressive advocacy for those measures. Do you remember the shame, the campaign, the pressure to comply? And now, well, it could be, you know, we've all been under a lot of stress lately. Perhaps we're all just having cardiac arrest because of that. Has anyone been taking any injections where the spike protein migrates from the site to the tissue around the heart? Yes, everyone's been doing that because it was very near mandated and people were rounded up into camps if they refused to cooperate. Do you think it could be connected to that? Is there any chance that it could be connected to that? You know, can't rule it out. Can't rule it out. But we do need a civilian army to ensure that people don't discuss things like that publicly. And I am willing to participate in that civilian army. Hey, listen, guys, we're going to move now into a fantastic and difficult story about Israel and Israel's actions in Palestine. It's pretty heavy stuff, man. If you're not a member of Our Awakened Wonders yet, become a member of Our Awakened Wonders. Every single week, we make one free video for you. Well, not one free video, actually. We're charging you for it, but one additional video. And you get to participate in our conversations with the guests. And you're helping us grow our movement. So use the, for the last day, this is the last 24 hours. You got to use the phrase, God is great. God is great. And if you use that, you get the, you know, you can get 1 month free. 1 month free. Plus, we do a weekly meditation. We're doing a book club at the moment. We're reading Mere Christianity, which is actually mind-blowing. I want to welcome our new members, Scuba Steven. Thanks for coming. Hey, hey, 2A. Nicola McKay. Hateful Respect. Capshaw, all of you guys. I want to welcome all of you to our little community. Now, Tucker interviewed that Palestinian pastor, didn't he? Joe Rogan has said flat out and outright that events in Israel are, in his view, genocidal. So that's what we're putting on, right? Because have a look at the what's on that teleprompter right now, guys. So let's have a look at that. Here's the news. No, here's the effing news.
Here's the fucking news.
Joe Rogan has called Israel's actions in Gaza a genocide. Tucker Carlson has been attacked for his interview with a Christian pastor inside Palestine, pointing out that Christians are dying in this genocide also. Meanwhile, Richard Dawkins has also said that if you lose Christianity altogether, its cultural affectations and expressions, shall we say, you're left in a worse place while still attacking Islam. Are we in the most confusing, complex Armageddon the world has yet known? Joe Rogan has called Israel's actions in Gaza a genocide. I know many of you will be using that term to describe the events because, well, I think, you know, the dictionary tends to take us in that direction. Tucker Carlson has been condemned for talking to a Christian pastor in Palestine. And whenever anyone speaks out on this subject, they are attacked. Now, you know that we believe in free speech, and I don't know if you know this, but I personally believe in God, and I'm in the process of a lot of discovery around Christianity and personal religion, and you better believe I'll bore you with that another time. But for now, let's talk about this unfolding complexity, because for a moment on October the 7th, we collapsed into a state of simplicity regarding Hamas's actions that day as so atrocious that almost any response was warranted. Remember the rhetoric from around that time. People saying they're animals, claims were made about Hamas activity, some of which has been subsequently questioned. And whatever happened on October the 7th and didn't happen, and I'm certainly not disputing, you know, let's call it the official version of events, it certainly seems to have led to the massacre of tens of thousands of people, tens of thousands of children, people that can't possibly be significantly militarily connected to Hamas. And it's brought to the forefront a lot of questions, as well as fracturing, coalescing portions of American political life. The alt-right, for example, has scattered in all sorts of directions around this complex subject. Our views on this channel are clear. We do not believe in war, any war. We do not think that your tax dollars or our tax pounds should be funding war. We believe that the massacre of innocent people is always wrong, that the war between Russia and Ukraine should be ended as soon as possible, that the atrocities in Gaza should end as soon as possible, that the attacks on October the 7th were wrong and brutal, that the escalation of the war in the Middle East, the potential involvement of Iran is wrong, and certainly provoking China seems a bit stupid too. So it's of course a complicated and difficult subject, so let's look through some of the most popular commentators of our time that have got stuck into this issue. Rogan's called it a genocide. Tucker's investigating it. He seems to be a no-war absolutist. Let's see what this issue is telling us about our culture. Collapse. Let's see what it's telling us about religion. Let's see what it's telling us about war and power. And perhaps most significantly of all, the need for a new spiritual paradigm to emerge so that we can stop funding a thirsty and relentless war machine.
If you wake up in the morning and decide that your Christian faith requires you to support a foreign government blowing up churches and killing Christians, I think you've lost the thread. Just to end on this, if you had a message for Christian leaders in the United States, whether in government or in churches or just citizens who care about the religion and their fellow Christians, what would it be?
It would be to remind them that when the state of Israel was created, it was not created on an empty land. It was created on a land that had millions of indigenous Palestinians there, including Palestinian Christians.
Already we are in the eye of an enormous global storm where people on different sides of this argument will be spilling invective and outrage already. But what we can certainly agree with is that a person's spiritual values, or if nothing else, lead us to a place where what we crave, require, and are committed to above all else is peace. In fact, one of the obvious problems with institutional Christianity is when it's utilized to legitimize war, when there's been Holocaust denial by Christian leaders, when there's been other atrocities as a result of Christian institutions. That is a massive problem. This certainly, from my perspective at least, isn't an opportunity to say this version of faith is better than this version of faith. I believe that should be a personal choice that we all undertake. But we're already right in the heart of that whole Christ is King argument, where the love of your own faith appears that it somehow ought imply the condemnation of another's faith. And that's certainly a mistake that I wouldn't personally like to make. It makes sense to me that if you are a Christian or a devout Muslim or a spiritual Jew, that above all else, you should want peace and harmony among the people of the world. Indeed, it's difficult to argue that this is a religious conflict rather than a territorial conflict that ultimately is about the playing out of power dynamics that involves Israeli politics, American politics, and the cultural and spiritual lexicon is laid upon it merely to obfuscate what appear to be some pretty brutal choices being made.
And that state they support, that state they celebrated as a fulfillment of prophecy and a sign of God's state to the Jewish people for it to become a state. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, including Palestinian Christians, were forced to leave and have never returned. And my message to Christian leaders right now is there is a very, very brutal war taking place in Gaza, a war that I described using the word genocide, because it's a war that has used even starvation as a mean. And fellow Christians are suffering because of that war.
One of the arguments that's consistently used, and one can understand the use of this argument, is, of course, the settling of the United States of America, one would say, could say, would you say, involved a genocide. I'm British. We've gone around the world murdering people, committing atrocities for hundreds of years in order to establish the British Empire. And I know that a lot of people that support Israel say, why is it that Israel's actions in that territory are regarded uniquely? Why is it that no one cares when a lot of Muslims are killed as a result of a conflict in Syria, but everyone cares when Muslims are killed as a result of this particular conflict, with the underlying implication being that there is an anti-Semitic craving that is being fulfilled in the condemnation of Israel's actions. From the beginning of this conflict, we've been very careful, I hope, and you let me know in the comments if you agree, to be respectful of all people's religious views and national inclinations and patriotic tendencies. But when you have a complete anti-war stance, when you are anti-violence, violence, when you believe the Ukraine-Russia war should be ended as quickly as possible, that a diplomatic solution is necessary, when you believe that brutality in all its forms ought to be ended, in effect, those principles and values are transcendent of the dynamics of inter-Arab, inter-Judaic, inter-Muslim, inter-Christian argument. In a way, we can't continue to fortify ongoing violence because of a particular perspective grounded in our cultural values and ignore this key value. If you love God at all, whether it's as a Muslim or as a Jew or as a Christian, or if you love humanity as an atheist, ultimately what you want is for us to find harmonious solutions, not to legitimize and justify the perpetuation of ongoing violence, particularly if it involves the unthinkable. And what I mean by the unthinkable is also the unsayable, that you can't for too long contemplate what's going on in Gaza, the brutality, the murder of children. If you hear one citation of there's these children, they were trapped in a car, they tried to make a call. If you hear any of the one examples of those now, I think about 40,000 deaths, then it becomes unbearable. So this is where I suppose some kind of grounded, earned, deliberate faith becomes a requirement. Because if you have that, then the inflections of people's religious perspective are less important than the values inherent within those religions.
It's time that Christian leaders recognize that wars is not the way, whether in Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya. When will we learn that war does not help? When will we take Jesus' words seriously about being peacemakers, about being merciful? There must be other ways. And so it would be an invitation to listen, to learn more, and to avoid very shallow and simplistic perspectives that are not based on scripture itself, but more based on political equations. And I would plea right now, and I will continue to plea, that we need to stop this war in Gaza. It's killing many, many children, women, innocent lives. It has to stop. There must be other ways. And as a follower of Christ, we have to pursue the path of peace and justice. And we have to avoid simplistic polarizations, good and evil. Come and listen, come and understand what's happening.
War is extreme by its nature, extreme violence, and many people have called this an escalation of even war, genocide, the deliberate murder of an entire population. An interesting aspect of this conflict is the conditions that it's grown out of. I don't mean the land disputes, territorial disputes, or history and complexity around Israel and Palestine. I mean our philosophical perspective for the last century, that we live in a materialistic, rationalist reality, that we don't really consider the supernatural or the spiritual to be a priority. What we consider to be the priority is what happens here on earth. Whose land is this? Whose material is this? Whose money? Whose oil? Whose resources? Who gets to decide who can be killed and who can't be killed? Who gets to decide that this set of killings is an atrocity and this set of killings is freedom fighting or a necessity or in order to protect democracy? We've lived in a time where actually God has been put on the back burner, where spiritual values have been disavowed. And I think part of this peculiar set of circumstances that we're experiencing as a planet right now are the end of that time, where we begin to recognize when we only live rationally, when we only care about that which can be measured and compared and contrasted, when we care only about dominion, something very important is lost. Something deep and personal and yet universal has been discarded. When in a minute we hear Richard Dawkins say that even though he is as atheist as he ever was and he thinks that Christianity is ridiculous and stupid, but he likes living in Christian countries with churches and hymns and Christians Christian values and that he sees them as superior to Islam, Richard Dawkins, one of the forefathers of the new atheist movement, is acknowledging that it appears that spirituality and even religion have a value even just materially. Almost as if to say, and this is not my position, if you live as if God is real, if you live as if we are all connected, if you live as if we are one fraternity, all connected to one another, that have shared duties and a shared destiny, and that what happens here on the material plane isn't the most important thing, but is secondary to our spiritual value, our inner value, our deep universal and ubiquitous connection, then perhaps we would make different decisions, because all of the decisions that get made in the world are on the basis that God isn't real. Even religious groups aren't acting like God is real. If you really believe in God, you aren't gonna kill somebody or a group of people on the basis that land is more important than human life. You are ultimately gonna be willing to make sacrifices. Indeed, which of those Abrahamic faiths doesn't say sacrifice yourself? Sacrifice yourself. Sacrifice in the short term in order to achieve a long-term vision. There are clear perennial conditions in all the Abrahamic faiths, and I'm not saying they are not different and that there aren't crazy things in each of them, but there are valuable things in them all that perhaps could help us navigate ourselves away from this set of catastrophes.
I plead as a Christian pastor from Bethlehem, I plead that you come and listen.
There you go. That's a good out. I plead as a Christian pastor from Bethlehem. What's your parish? It's Bethlehem, baby, where Jesus was born. What does he know? I can't be bothered to listen to that guy. You're not even probably connected to Christianity. I'm in Bethlehem. Shut up. Now, another seismic moment in independent media was when Joe Rogan used his considerable freight and weight and audience to say it's a genocide. A lot of people have said that. There's been a lot of spats about it. There's been a lot of querying the semantics, linguistics, and philology around that word. But when Joe Rogan says it, it's going to spread discussion. Let me know what you think about Joe Rogan's perspective, because it seems to me that this was a pivotal moment in the changing of the conversation around a very difficult subject.
That Edward Snowden video that he put up on Twitter that shows them drone bombing those kids that are, those men, I should say, unarmed people that were walking towards the rubble that clearly weren't causing any danger to anybody.
Yeah, right.
They just bombed them.
Yeah, no, it's your duty. It's just like for Biden or whoever you like, you're supposed to cover up for them. Because
but the whole thing is like they're always saying they're only targeting Hamas and everybody else is a casualty. Well, if those guys are just unarmed civilians and they're walking alone, that's what they appear to be.
Dresden.
Joe Rogan's guest to show. Dresden.
Dresden.
Exactly. It becomes complicated because let's look at the history of our nations. The UK indeed bombed Dresden to the point of annihilation. It wasn't tactical. It was to make a point. Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I know there are people to this day that go, yeah, but if we hadn't done that, then Japan would have, but it seems to me that it was a bit brutal. So I guess part of the problem is, and we hear this argument again and again, we can't stop China having their industrial revolution and their period of growth. We can't stop India having their technological growth. All of these things are built on materialism and rationalism as if the only thing is what's here. If you have a set of spiritual values, like, wait a minute, what if this is actually an illusion or some sort of simulation? What if our values, our heart and our love are more important than what we can acquire here on this earth, whether that's pleasure or possessions? What then? Well, then I guess we would all start living differently. And how might we live? Kindness, love, ubiquitous principles that emerge again and again in the kind of traditions and faiths that Richard Dawkins, the world's number one atheist, even admits gives you pretty nice hymns and churches and amenable countries to live in.
If you can't talk about that, if you can't say that's real, then you're saying that genocide is okay as long as we're doing it. And
that is what we're saying.
And if you're saying that from a perspective of someone who literally went through the Holocaust, or your people, your tribe, went through the fucking Holocaust, and now you're willing to do it?
Now, America are practically and fundamentally involved in this because of their relationship with Israel, which includes selling and often granting them armament in unusual ways. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says that it's not a genocide. I suppose that's why words matter, because once you acknowledge that it's a genocide, then the arming of the nation perpetuating that becomes less easy. Okay, well then, what is a genocide? Let's have a look at some of the data. A group of aid experts said that more than 100,000 Palestinians could be killed by a combination of Israeli strikes, famine and plague if the humanitarian conditions in Gaza are not significantly improved. This war depends on an endless flow of weapons and financial support from the United States, Britain, Canada and the European Union, with Germany in the lead, without which the genocide could not continue. As these horrors were being carried out, the Biden re-election campaign held a fundraising event Thursday at Radio City Music Hall in New York, where three Democratic presidents, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden, joined forces in defense of the current U.S. policy. Hundreds of protesters were outside showing their support
support for the Palestinian people. The response of the three presidents was to reaffirm their solidarity with Netanyahu, of Israel, of course. Obama lectured the protesters on the need to listen, that is, to shut up and let experienced warmongers like himself and Biden make the decisions. The bulk of the audience, comprised of multimillionaires paying huge sums for admission, applauded. The entertainers who participated in the program, Colbert, Queen Latifah, etc., were fawning in their approval. The Radio City Music Hall event raised a record $26 million as the Democrats laughed and joked with bankers and billionaires. Both parties are political instruments of the super rich, unshakably committed to the defense of the profit system at home and American imperialism abroad. It's significant that America, still the most powerful and some would say greatest nation on earth, is so pivotal in the perpetuation of wars, not only Russia-Ukraine, which if the United States withdrew their support would have to end, but also this conflict in the Middle East, which we know is becoming increasingly unpopular, even with Democrat Party voters, even where the military and members of the military are having doubts, even where Aaron Bushnell set himself on fire in protest at American participation, even through the sale of arms in this conflict, which many people are calling a genocide at this point, requires funding. It requires popular support. It requires, at minimum, the majority of us turn away or don't think about it or legitimize it. But when confronted with some of the information from inside Gaza or the appeals of that Christian pastor from inside Palestine, it starts to seem like, as with Ukraine and Russia, a diplomatic and immediate solution might be preferable to this ongoing annihilation. The homicidal sentiments enveloping the ruling class as a whole were given voice last week by Michigan Republican Congressman Tim Walberg, who called for a quick destruction of the enclave on the model of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the Japanese cities annihilated by US nuclear bombs in August 1945. I saw that film Oppenheimer, and I thought the message was, that was good, that bomb, let's do some more of them and not think about the consequences.
I don't think any of our aid that goes to Israel to support our greatest ally, arguably maybe in the world, to defeat Hamas and Iran and Russia, and probably North Korea's in there and China too.
He's bundling together a whole lot of wars there. I don't think some of those countries have even got relationships. They could be having their own wars. And on top of that, we're supposed to be America's greatest ally.
We shouldn't be spending a dime on humanitarian aid. It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Get it over quick.
That's an amazing speech to give. Not only no humanitarian aid and drop a nuclear bomb on them, it's just a normal speech. People shifting in their seats. What's being advocated for is nuclear war. Hundreds of millions around the world are revolted by the images streaming out of Gaza, despite the near blackout imposed by the corporate-controlled media. They are shocked by the escalating military provocations of Israel and the US NATO forces throughout the Middle East. Etc. How do I get ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine? See, I know I can do it. I know I can say it. Doctors won't prescribe it. I can barely say it. Americans are waking up now more than ever. We need life-saving medications on hand, accessible, in our palms, because these aren't just remedies. They're lifelines for next time, because there will be a next time. You know there'll be a next time. You know they'll come up with something. The wellness company's Contagion Emergency Kit is unique. This prescription kit provides carefully selected, effective medications for COVID-19, and respiratory illnesses. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. There you go, HCQ. Let's just call it HCQ. Z-Pak, or Z-Pak, and Budesonide, along with a nebulizer. Isn't that the spaceship in the Matrix? And a guidebook for safe use. Rest easy knowing emergency meds are on hand. Backed by research, endorsed by experts like Dr. Peter McCulloch and Dr. Harvey Risch, the wellness company's Contagion Emergency Kit is a must-have. You gotta have it. Go to twc.health/brand. Get your own Contagion Emergency Kit now. That's twc.health/brand. That code brand saves you $30 at checkout. Kits are, I'm sorry to tell you, my brothers and sisters in the UK, in Europe, my brothers and sisters on the continent of Africa, in India and China. This is only available in the United States. So if you are an American or you live there, visit twc.health/brand and use brand to save $30 and you get free shipping. That's not bad, is it? Okay, let's get back to the video. The lineup of Democratic presidents at the Radio City Music Hall shows why the mass protests have been entirely ineffective in changing government policy. All three presidents are identified with the development of the war policy of American imperialism over the past three decades. Clinton, 93 to 2001, oversaw a series of US military interventions in the former Yugoslavia, including full-scale air war against Serbia and in Somalia, as well as bomb and missile attacks in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Sudan. Obama, 2009 to 2017, continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, begun by Republican George W. Bush, while bombing Libya in that country and in Syria, plunging both both countries into bloody civil wars. He extended the global pursuit of military confrontation with his turn to Asia, promising to shift the majority of US military forces to the Asia-Pacific theater to confront China. When you consider those presidencies in conjunction, it looks like the distinctions, whether they are racial, national, or religious, are secondary to the ongoing funding of a ferocious and avaricious war machine that requires the sacrifice of human life for its own perpetuation. And I would say that's an ideology that's a lot less favorable than either Christianity, Islam, or Judaism. In fact, the main message that I take from this is we're living in a religious, zealous state right now. It's just it's a materialistic, consumeristic, capitalistic, militaristic religion that is more extreme than any of these Abrahamic faiths. Biden's main focus since taking office has been to instigate and then escalate the US-NATO proxy war against Russia and Ukraine, to which the administration has devoted massive financial and military resources. This war, which threatens nuclear annihilation, is now combined with full-scale support for Israeli genocide in Gaza and a continuing war build-up in Asia through anti-China alliances and an array of US bases. All three Democratic administrations used vague and quickly discarded promises of social improvement at home to screen the growth of militarism. Clinton billed himself as the man from hope. It's a weird thing to call yourself. I'm the man from hope. Hey, come over here, cigar. I hope she says yes. Clinton billed himself as the man from hope, but joined with the Republicans to end welfare as we know it. Obama, the candidate of hope and change, used his identity as the first African-American president as a cover for a massive bailout of Wall Street at the expense of the working class. Biden claimed to be fighting to preserve the soul of America against the danger of Trump, and is supposedly the only hope for defending democracy in America, as if this 81-year-old doddering war criminal is all that stands in the way of fascist dictatorship. Nice. It seems, though, that we do have a religion. We are devoted to gods of war. It's warmongering that is the religion of the West. It's warmongering that all three of those presidents, and George W. Bush was dropped in the mix as well, are devoted to, in spite of whatever claims they may make of other faiths. And obviously, I'm not condemning them as individuals. They are merely deacons and priests of the religion of death that requires ongoing war to perpetuate itself. Perhaps the words of the pastor that spoke to Tucker Carlson earlier ought to be allowed to resonate within each of us. If you love God, if you consider yourself a Christian or a Muslim, or a Jew, or indeed a secular humanitarian, surely the priority is ending war rather than equivocating, prevaricating, and justifying why this particular war or this particular genocide has to happen because of this set of reasons. That, to me, sounds like you don't really have any principles. You just are willing to do what's necessary in order to gain what you want. And that is the actual opposite of religion, in a way, because religion, as far as I can tell, is about sacrifice and willingness to change and overcome the kind of crazy desires that seem to dominate our world right now. But I'm not alone in turning towards faith right now, because even Richard Dawkins, while maintaining his atheistic stance, is beginning to acknowledge that materialism leaves civilization and society as a whole with some pretty serious shortcomings. Let's have a look at this.
Well, I must say I was slightly horrified to hear that Ramadan is being promoted instead. I do think that we are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer, but there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. So I count myself a cultural Christian. I think it would matter if we certainly, if we substituted any alternative religion, that would be truly dreadful.
Well, which brings me to my supplementary point, which is that, as we know, church attendance is plummeting, but the erection of mosques across Europe, I think 6,000 are under construction, and there are many more, I mean, are being planned. So do you regard that as a problem? Do you think that matters?
Yes, I do, really. I mean, if I had to choose between Christianity and Islam, I'd choose Christianity every single time. I mean, it seems to me to be a fundamentally decent religion, in a way that I think Islam is not.
I think you're going to have to explain why you say that.
Going to have to explain why you said that.
I find that I like to live in a culturally Christian country, although I do not believe a single word of the Christian faith.
Oh, Richard Dawkins there, he wants his cake and eat it. I like it, I don't believe it, and I want to live in it.
Thank you. There's a lot to unpack there. Cultural Christian is an interesting idea. I suppose it's taken from the idea of being sort of culturally Jewish, from the many Jewish folk that are secular but racially Jewish. It's a fascinating piece of language that dear Richard Dawkins, who I admire in many ways, seems to be using to further condemn Islam. My personal position is that I'm becoming increasingly persuaded and enamoured of Christianity, but I believe and respect all other faiths, and people that are Muslim have every right to celebrate and enjoy Ramadan. And indeed, I would remind you of the phrase, the world doesn't require that more people believe in God, just that the people who do believe in God start acting like they believe in God, which is to say, look for peace, look for harmony, look for love, look for solutions, promote diplomacy, act as if other people's views are as important as ours. In fact, when you look at this list of war crimes and these barbarous presidents and what atrocities were committed in their name, many of whom are still regarded as heroes, then you have to see that it's religion in general and the principles of religion that are required. And of course, many atrocities have been carried out in the name of Christianity, but I would say that was in the pursuit of power. Many atrocities have been carried out in the name of Islam, but I would also argue that was in the pursuit of power, territory, material things, treasures here on earth. And now it is being said that atrocities are being carried out, if not in the name of Judaism, certainly in the name of Israel, which is a, by definition, a Jewish state. So no religion has clean hands when it comes to the subject of genocide. And every religion has an obligation to motivate each of us individually and all of us collectively towards peace and love and tolerance. These may sound like fatic little Hallmark card words when they're just said, but when they're practiced, it's the most difficult thing in the world, because it means confronting the serpent, the behemoth, the monster that has become the secular machine, the establishment that demands war, that demands sacrifice, and that's as every bit as evangelical and as zealous as any of these faiths can be when practiced by those who do not appear to have the faith in their hearts, merely the ornamentation of those religions as a guise of similarly materialistic aims. But that's just what I think. Why don't you let me know what you think in the comments and the chat? Remember, become a member of our community. You are welcome. Come one, come all. Religion, lack of religion, it's all the same to us. Let us find solutions together that are loving and benign, for we have to believe, we have to worship, and we have to know it's possible. Otherwise, you will by default become a member of the faith of the warmongers.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
More important than any of that, if you can, please, stay free.
No, here's the fucking news.